Good morning. Today is Friday, July the 3rd. Joining us this morning, interim. Do we underline the interim and emphasize it?
Some probably would, I can assume, yes.
You pop that thing off. We're far enough away. Don't worry.
Sorry.
Yeah. No.
Some can assume.
Yeah. Miles Slattery from the city of Eureka. Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see you again. It's been a little bit of time.
It has been a long time.
Yeah. And we're going to steer away from any personnel-related issues.
I hope so.
Well, you know, I mean, we've been doing this thing, 38 years now, I think? Mm-hmm. And it's like, everybody, well, how come, what happened? Like, you can't ask that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's personnel. I mean, it's all close. There's a reason why everything is in public during the meetings except for personnel.
Yes.
Because it's personnel-related. Mm-hmm. Can't talk about it. So anyway, nice sunburn, by the way.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Are you ready for our Why Do We Say That?
Yes.
Now that you're one of us, okay. Swab. How did the origin of swab as a nickname for a seafaring man come from?
The swab the deck connotation?
Yeah.
I guess maybe he did it with a Q-tip.
Jeez. Yeah, and you're too close with some of this virus thing. Washing down the decks of their vessels was once one of the major peacetime occupations of Navy men. To do this, they used a mop or a swab. Smart guy. So the sailors were called swabs. But the sailors did not apply this term to themselves. Instead, observing the similarity in appearance between their mops and their officers' emulets, they called the officers swabs. Huh. So
we call them custodians.
Yeah. So everybody stepped back, and there you were, huh?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. You know, I was a part of the original recruitment process.
Yeah, you'd made the final cut, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of, was it one of those be careful of what you hope for moments? Or is this kind of fun and exciting and kind of what you thought it would be?
Yeah, I would go the latter. I definitely think that, you know, I see a lot of potential in Eureka and always have, and I think that we've done a lot of good things up to this point, and I think we can expand on those things and make it even better.
Obviously, there's the overtone of challenging budget and the undertone of health. Okay. So let's look at the budget side, because I think that's probably the one that's probably most addressable by a manager. You look at the roads. I mean, you're very familiar with that, in parks and the maintenance of the infrastructure, so to speak, of the city. Is it salvageable?
Yeah, you know, this has definitely been challenging economic times. Our sales tax revenues were declining prior to the pandemic already, and we were looking at some budget cuts associated with that, and then the pandemic came, and that increased the cuts that we need to make. So we just presented our budget to council last council meeting, and we will be presenting the budget to council as for adoption on Monday the 13th at 3:00. Overall, we had approximately, you know, between 12% and 15% cuts in each of our departments. It's overall average, I believe, is about 12%. So, you know, it's significant. We haven't had to lose any services. I think we'll still have the same service levels through these cuts. We're hoping
so
that.
So where did it come from?
A lot of it, we did the golden handshakes for the retired folks.
How does that work? I mean, I know general terms, but I've always thought that that's a front-loaded cost. While you may save over a period, you know, the coffers are a little bit leaner, but you got to pay these guys off.
Well,
do they get a chunk now, or is it another arrangement?
No, they get 2 years of service credit, or they get 2 years of medical covered by the city once they retire. So the benefit, especially now in these areas, is the people that are getting the retirement incentives are what are called classic employees. And so their contributions that we need to pay for their retirement are much more significant than they are for the what are called PEPRA employees. Those are ever since 2013. They revamped the CalPERS retirement system, and so the benefit not only is, you know, once these people retire, we don't fill those positions and we save all their salary, and then we also have the savings of those employees that, you know, are classic employees, and so we're saving from a retirement perspective as well.
They don't have to pose nude on pedestals, do they?
They don't. Okay. I think there's a couple of them. Drake with EPD probably would choose to do that, though. Just joking, Drake.
So for the first 2 years of retirement, if they go with the salary, they get 2 years of salary, or is that a lump sum buyout?
No, they get 2 years of service credit. So when you work for the city, once you, after 5 years, you're vested in the retirement system. So let's say I started at 18 years old. I worked until I was 28 to 58. I'd have 30 years of credit. So at that point, let's say I have 30 years of credit. That's multiplied by whatever your retirement percentages. So for classic employees, it's 2.7%, and for Pepper employees, 2%. So if I work for 30 years, I multiply that times 2.7, and that is what my salary is going to be when I, that's what my retirement is.
About three quarters, roughly.
Yeah. And so what this does is, if I was at 30 years and I was offered this and I hadn't retired yet, I could say, hey, I want to take a retirement. Instead of retiring with 30 years, I'd retire with 32 years.
So it'd kick up about 5% more, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
Does that go until death do you part?
It does, and there is an option for a much significant cut if you wanted to have a spouse to be on the plan, too.
Like a survivor's benefit.
Yeah.
Equivalent of that. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Interim City Manager for the City of Eureka, Miles Slattery. Miles, not your first budget year, I think, because you got to play that game kind of a slice of the pie instead of the whole pie. What was it like? What was the difference between being a department head and being the head of the departments?
So during this budget term, there was pretty much a team approach with all the department heads. You know, this was done when Pam was there, and Pam Powell was the acting city manager for a while. And
that's right, she acted in your interim.
Yeah, and so my first day was officially July 1. So the actual specifics of the budget was worked out as a team, with Pam leading us to get to the cuts that we needed to do. Coming from Parks and Rec and Community Services, you know, this is a something that we're used to. You know, public safety definitely has our priority, and so, you know, in years past, it was, you know, everybody cut but public safety. You know, we've gotten the last couple of cuts that we've had, it's, you know, not possible to do that, so we had included public safety now, and they've been working great. Humboldt Bay Fire was a great partner in addressing these budget concerns. EPD was as well, and so we all worked at a team and realized that it's for the benefit of the overall city, and so everything worked out well. Another thing that kind of factors into this year's budget is the ending of our Measure Q for our sales tax, and so that's something that we've been working with council on trying to address and looking at the renewal of that tax measure and some sort of modification of that tax measure. And so we've done some polling and gotten some favorable results for that, got some direction that we need to follow and an understanding of what the community wants. And we plan on going over all those aspects and discussing it with council in our second meeting in July, and look at a modification of that tax measure to renew it and make some modifications.
So it's not necessarily just a straight rollover or an extension of what was.
No, it's had a sunset of 5 years, and so that sunset is coming up, and so we're evaluating, you know, all of our different expenses, our revenues, projections. You know, this pandemic, it's not just during this time frame where we're having issues. It's projected that, you know, I think it was 18-19 is when we had some of our best sales tax revenue. And it's been slowly going down since then, but now it's significantly dropped, and they don't see it coming back to any level similar to that for at least 6 years, most likely longer.
Well, I would suspect, I mean, you look at some of the big box guys that aren't here now, mm-hmm. Just some of the changes in the landscape, so mm-hmm. to speak. You know, it's tough. It's tough mm-hmm. to replace those guys, and then with the desire for people in this last little bit to do the internet thing. Mm-hmm. You know, yep. It's too bad you don't get miles for the UPS drivers.
Yeah, and we're really going to start, you know, we have done it in the past, but we're definitely going to concentrate on the, you know, the local shopping. You know, it's very important not only for these times for our businesses that are affected as bad, if not worse, than what the city has, to support them and realize that by supporting them that those provide the services for the city. And it's a real important thing to note that when we're in this type of situation, keeping it local and having local sustainability based on our economy is extremely important.
Yeah, it's surprising. I know. I think we've been thumping that drum for 7-8 years now with the buy local stuff that we do mm-hmm. on air. That with some people, it still just doesn't register. Mm-hmm. Either they don't think about it, they haven't thought about it, they don't understand the connectivity mm-hmm. from one to the other and what percentage of the sales tax does end up here.
Yeah. 54% of our overall revenue comes from sales tax.
Well, you can see eyes pop when you say, you know, Amazon doesn't support the Little League team.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And it's like, oh, you know, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. It was interesting in the polling that we had done that people are starting to recognize that, though. They're really recognizing the need to have sustainability locally. You know, with our economy.
Whether the economy is robust or not.
Yeah.
And it just is a fact of reality.
Yeah. And it's good that people are understanding that, especially when, you know, you're looking at this pandemic and some of the funding that's been made available through the state and the feds. It's definitely not coming down to the smaller rural cities. We're not big chunks of money are going to towns with populations of greater than $300,000. I believe our gift from, I believe it was the feds, I'm not sure, the state was $50,000. And we've lost our projected revenue, you know, as it was going down prior to the pandemic. And now it's down by like $5 million. And our overall.
Well, they got the one digit right. They just.
Yeah, exactly.
A little weak on the placement of the digit there.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. So it's not helping us out, and it's making us realize that this is definitely, we need to be self-sufficient.
Well, and I suppose, you know, if there is a silver lining out of this, maybe it's the little kick in the butt for either local businesses or those that work with local businesses to locate here. Say, we need more employment, we need more business, we need mm-hmm. more something going on here, economic stimulus. Okay, as a set aside, economic development, that's really where we are. You know, we haven't had that. You know,
yeah.
I don't see marijuana retail as being an economic stimulus since the mills started going down.
Yeah.
You know, in the 80s and the 90s. There really has not been a backfill other than the small little boutique-y stuff. And it's tough to replace 200 with 5. It just doesn't pencil out on
with
a long-term
20
basis.
Different companies of 5?
Yeah. Yeah. And if there's space for those folks to do it. So it's nice that there's discussion about that now.
Yeah.
Where before it was, we lost a car dealer, no big deal.
Yeah, and we've been working a lot with, you know, the Chamber of Commerce, with Rick Main Street, Henderson Center folks, and definitely trying to get out there that, you know, we want to support small local businesses and try and encourage, you know, as much stimulus as possible.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hi, I'm Vanessa with PG&E. If you see a down power line, stay away from it and keep others away. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond as well as PG&E. To learn more, visit pge.com/safety.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at smokybear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service, Ad Council, and your state forester.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Interim City Manager for the City of Eureka, Miles Slattery. One of the things, Miles, we've talked about in the past is some of the things that are either, I guess, attractions to Eureka that are either regional, by that I mean Humboldt County, or a little bit larger, you know, maybe from the state line down to, I don't know, Ukiah, I guess. I really don't think Sacramento's going to come to Eureka to see what's in Eureka. They're coming here to see trees.
I think that's going to change.
Yeah. That's what I was going to ask you with the thing with the park, the elevated walkway, and okay, so that's an element, half an hour, 45 minutes, that kind of thing. But is Eureka ready for an increase in tourism? You know, the infrastructures we talked about, you know, we've talked about and locked heads on this one. If this thing is successful, there's no parking. Okay, so now are you going to have to run shuttle buses?
So we don't.
Or, you know, and it's, I equate it with the streets. You know, the streets really can't handle the traffic that we have now. I don't think that's any big secret for anybody. Are we ready to handle an increase in tourism in Eureka? Or is Eureka cool with the boardwalk and you see the bay, but you're staying in McKinleyville or you're staying in Fortuna?
We don't want that.
So what do you see 10 years down the road? If there are more attractions and there is more demand, do you see that Eureka, I mean, can we get over a fight so that we can have a hotel on the water?
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's, I don't know about on the water.
The Greg Pearson, Larry DeBaney battle against the hostelry, you know, it's still an empty lot.
Yeah, and that's in a negotiation period right now.
There was somebody sniffing around?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh. Well, we had an exclusive right to negotiate, and we actually had to distribution and development agreement for that property there.
What does that mean?
It's an old redevelopment property that's now in our successor agency, and so that's basically, you have to get exclusive right to negotiate. Once you get through that, you have to get a DDA, and that DDA kind of defines the deed restrictions that have to be on it because it was.
So it's like a discovery phase for the property.
No, we've got an appraisal. It's got a value, and we're looking to finalize that DDA and start
to sell it or lease it.
Sell it.
Oh, mm-hmm. So some. I didn't know you could do that.
Yes, we can.
Well, I hope so.
At least the lawyers tell me we can.
Okay. Could the same thing happen with the Halverson project site?
That's what it is. So it's not.
Oh, not the one up by the Wharfinger.
No, that's Tidelands property. So that one by the Wharfinger there,
that
one currently is also under exclusive right to negotiate with England Marine for an acre of that property. And so we're hoping that comes through. There's some things going on right now, and so we're hoping that ends up getting finalized.
So there is some sniffing around about waterfront property development.
Yeah, definitely. Back to the Skywalk. So the Redwood Skywalk is on schedule as of right now. We're doing the footings. They're complete, and we're going to start going vertical pretty soon here. It should be on track late September, mid-October to be completed. As far as the parking there, while it's on-street parking, you know, when we did the traffic analysis associated with that, we based the numbers off of the Watershed Heroes and the increase in attendance that we had for that, which is the otter and those things.
Boil it down. You know who you're dealing with here.
Yeah.
And the furry swimmers, yeah.
Yes. And so we think it's going to be obviously more of an increase in that, but all of that parking, that's a mile-long loop that's around there. There's a lot of parking, and if you've been to other zoos, there's definitely a much longer walks from parking areas to the zoo than there is there. But on top of that, we're doing some park improvements in Sequoia Park along with this project, and that's going to add, it's not much, but at least 5 new spaces, 2 of which will be, you know, truly ADA accessible, so those will be right adjacent to the zoo. We're also, you know, with the new branding that came out, I think it came out really well and is really going to benefit the city from an economic standpoint and a tourist standpoint.
What is it?
the new branding that came out. Where have you been?
Right here.
I guess the hospital.
Right here working, baby.
I guess the hospital. yeah, we just, working with Eddie Alexander, they just launched the new brand. You haven't driven by City Hall at all?
The back side, not the front side.
Well, go to the front side. Have you looked at the two entry signs on Q and 4th and at
Haven't left town, sorry, other than Old Arcata.
Okay. Well, this our new brand is out. We have a new brand out, and we've been working with them on promoting, you know, the city and doing those type of things. But anyway, as it
is it a new logo, or is it a logo, or is
new
it a
logo
slogan?
And a whole, you know, marketing plan and those type of things. It was a part of the big marketing, you know, contract that we put out to bid. Wow, you're living in under. I thought you were in the news,
hey,
brother.
I'm in radio.
Okay.
You know, graphics and me. You know, I don't. You know, unless it hits me over the head.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's not out in cutting area.
No, but yeah. As a part of that, we, you know, we've always been looking at working with the Lodging Alliances and hopefully Tibber Heritage Association. But looking at shuttles, I think that when you talk about stay times and stuff like that, you know, the Watershed Heroes was. A big increase in stay time at the zoo. This is going to be even that much more of an increase. And we're looking at getting some sort of shuttle that's wrapped in our brand and having shuttles going from Old Town up to the zoo.
Like a hotel shuttle kind of thing?
Similar to that, more of trolley-looking type of thing.
Well, okay, but the concept would stop at the hotels and take them.
Yeah.
Like you have sometimes with conventions in various cities.
Exactly. And so I think that will be a benefit to the zoo because they'll get the experience of the Redwoods. That'll be a one-of-a-kind experience that you'll get. And then also, you know, our waterfront and enjoying Old Town. So that's something that we're looking at doing and hopefully going to be able to fund.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop with Miles Slattery. Happy 4th of July, by the way.
Happy 4th to you as well.
Is the city doing anything? Is there anything going on? I know tonight Fortuna's doing their thing, but they're telling everybody to stay at home and just watch it out of the backyard.
Yeah, unfortunately it's not. You know, for us it's always on the waterfront, and we were really concerned about the people congregating. You know,
sure.
It's a huge crowd. Tractor, I can see Fortuna kind of working because, you know, you can be in residential areas and get a good view of it. Here in Eureka, we didn't see that happening, so we didn't do the 4th of July this year.
Well, you know what that means. It's going to be the first year in forever that it's clear.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we are thinking of, you know, our department heads and management have been looking at something maybe down the road to kind of make up for it. We haven't really come to any conclusions
yet. Well, the one year, didn't Rob and Sherry do something for New Year's? There was a New Year's Eve fireworks
that may have
presentation. I don't know. But it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, being the new year. And I forget what it was in connection with. But it was just kind of something a little bit different that why not have Eureka with a festival at one point or an event and then some of the other towns separate times instead of everybody doing it at the same time and almost being redundant.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we've been talking about is that, you know, Labor Day weekend kind of is lacking. We used to have Blues by the Bay, and that was always a big hit. And bringing something back on Labor Day I think would be good. It's hard to tell.
Or the week after. Why do it on the 3-day weekend, man?
Yeah, and it's hard to tell where we're going to be with the pandemic, but, you know, we are looking at some alternatives.
Well, you could go on September 10th.
Is that your birthday?
Yeah.
I figured.
Or the 9th is admissions day, you know, the day before, so
okay.
That was Mom's birthday. So,
gotcha.
Yeah. Other than that, September doesn't hold an awful lot for me. That's also on
my son's the 21st, so he can do
okay. Okay. Well, see, there's lots of reasons why September comes into play.
Yes.
If folks have ideas, you know, how do you submit an idea? You know, because it seems as if some of the various entities have got their own biases kind of built in already. But if somebody had an idea for, let's say, a festival, let's say we wanted to do a wine festival, Okay. Just as an idea. They didn't want to orchestrate it. They didn't want to try to make money off of it. They didn't have the time. But they just had, they went to, let's say, Astoria, had a cool event and said, you know, we could do something like this at home.
Yeah.
So they get that. Where do you go for that kind of stuff anymore?
So there's a lot of different venues you could do that with. I mean, one place to start for events like that is, you know, our Open Space Parks and Recreation Commission. That's something.
Well, just to present the idea, not to do it.
Yeah, just to present the idea.
But just to present it to somebody and say, you know, here's one for the file.
Yeah.
If somebody's looking for something down the road, here's a cool one that you might want to look at.
Yeah, so any of those, you know, even council meetings and coming up with public comment or even submitting written, you know, requests into council. Other venues could be, you know, the visitor center. Humboldt Maid runs that now, and, you know, they've done the Friday Night Markets. They did the Fog Festival.
I was going to ask you, is the Visitors Bureau even open anymore?
It is opening this week.
Okay.
This upcoming week.
Okay.
Alana has submitted the application to the county, and they're going to be opening up this week. So we look forward to that, and I think it's going to go well. It'll be good. You know, we're going to be one of those towns that's definitely looked at for travel, so we need to make sure that we're very conscious and everybody is abiding by the protocol so we can stay open. But, you know, we're a town where we don't have really, really high levels of it, and it's a drivable, you know, way to get here.
We're that 4 or 5 hours away from 500,000 people. I mean, there's an opportunity.
A little more than 500,000, but
if they want to. Well, it depends on how far down you go, man. excited about the job?
I am. I've always, my wife tells me all the time I have Eureka pride. I've always... I've loved Eureka ever since I've worked here. I loved Eureka when I went to college here. I think it has a lot to offer and a lot of hidden things that need to be unearthed and brought to everybody's attention. So I'm looking forward to doing that.
Very cool. See you next month.
All right.
Thanks, Miles. Enjoy your weekend.
All right. You too.
See everybody tomorrow.